Welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Social justice and human rights are among the important issues for Angela Romero. The Democratic hopeful for the Utah House of Representatives defeated an incumbent state lawmaker at the Salt Lake County Democratic Party Convention to win the nomination for House District 26. Now she's running to represent the city's west side, along with parts of downtown and West Valley City. She'll join us in the studio to talk about her involvement in Democratic politics and what she brings to the race. Then congressional candidate Charles Kimball has given up on political parties because of the influence of money. The candidate had to go door-to-door collecting signatures to get on the ballot as an independent and scrambled to meet the deadline. We'll talk about his thoughts on important issues like public lands and education funding. Politics Up Close is coming up right after the news on KCBW. Good morning and welcome to Politics Up Close on KCBW. I'm Jeff Robinson. Access to a good education and health care are two of the top issues on Angela Romero's list. The Democratic candidate for the Utah House of Representatives made news at the Salt Lake County Democratic Party Convention earlier this spring by defeating an incumbent lawmaker, Brian Doty, to capture the party's nomination. Now she's hoping for victory this November in House District 26, representing the city's west side neighborhood of Glendale, along with parts of downtown and West Valley City as well. She joins me now in the studio to talk about her experience in politics, why she's running, and what she would hope to get done as a state lawmaker. And Angela, it's good to have you here in the studio.
Thank you for inviting me.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for Democratic Utah House candidate Angela Romero. Our phone number is 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Well, first, Angela, how long have you been involved in politics and in public policy yourself?
I got involved with politics in the early 90s. I was fortunate enough to meet Pete Suazo, who was running for the House of Representatives, and assisted with his campaign. And from there, I interned for him in the House in 1993-94. So that was my introduction to the political process and what interests me in becoming a person that would be involved in public policy for a career.
Mm-hmm. And you write on your Facebook campaign page that you've been involved in several different causes throughout Salt Lake County and volunteering as well. Mm-hmm. Tell me about some of those.
Well, when I first moved to Salt Lake City, that was in 1991. I'm originally from Tooele, Utah. I graduated from Tooele High School. Mm-hmm. And I moved to Salt Lake City, and I attended the University of Utah. And I actually, this is a funny story, I ran into this young man who looked about 12 with glasses, and he asked me, "Hi, I'm Ross Romero. What's your name?" I'm like, "Angela Romero." We realized we weren't related. He's like, "Do you want to get involved in the student organization I'm involved with? It's called the Chicano Student Association, and I'd like to introduce you to CESA, the Center for Ethnic Student Affairs." And I'm like, "Sure." And so that was kind of my first introduction to politics back in 1991, was actually Ross Romero. And from there, that's where I was able to meet community leaders in the Hispanic community, such as Archie Archuleta, then Pete Suazo, who wasn't in the House yet, and Judge Andrew Valdez, who wasn't a judge at that time, but they really guided and mentored me and introduced me to public policy and advocacy work.
So have you always been involved specifically in the Democratic Party, and what kind of experiences have shaped your views and sort of led you to that party?
I've always been a Democrat. I was born into a household where there was a crucifix on the wall and a picture of John F. Kennedy. And one of my fondest memories is of being with my grandparents. My grandparents raised me, is walking with them to the polls. Back then, people would vote in homes. And so I'd walk with them to the polls every November and watch them cast their votes. And so that kind of inspired me to be active in the Democratic Party just because of what was set up by my grandparents and their influence. I got involved with the Democratic Party with the late Senator Pete Suazo. He introduced me to the Salt Lake County Hispanic Democratic Caucus. Mm-hmm. I've been very active in that caucus. I've been a delegate since I was in my early 20s. And I actually got involved in leadership from that point of leadership in the Salt Lake County Hispanic Democratic Caucus. I was elected in 2005 to the Executive Committee of the Salt Lake County Democratic Party. And my job there was to run precinct meetings, mass meetings. And so that's where I really got involved in the Democratic Party, as well as being part of Young Dems.
Mm-hmm. So, Angela, what motivated you to run in this specific race this year, especially since you were taking on an incumbent lawmaker?
What inspired me to run is I've lived in House District 26 for over 12 years now. Mm-hmm. actually take you back a little ways here. I was appointed by Mayor Anderson in 2001 to be the youth city government coordinator. So my job at that time was to introduce young people to the political process. And during that time, I got really active just in local causes. And a lot of the concerns that the students had were, why weren't students graduating? And majority of those students lived on the west side. So that was kind of my introduction there. I currently am the program manager at the Sorenson Unity Center, which is a community center in the heart of our district, Glendale. And I am in charge of community programming. So what I do is I work with local nonprofits, community organizations, and businesses to provide free services to the community. So the reason why I decided to run is because I've had a background in volunteering in the area. I work in the area. I live in the area. And so I know the needs, and the community feels comfortable with me.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Angela Romero. She is the Democratic candidate for the Utah House of Representatives in District 26. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. You can also send questions and comments to us on Twitter at KCBW as well. So, Angela, House District 26 has an interesting shape, includes Glendale, but lots of other neighborhoods as well. What areas does this district actually represent?
So the district with redistricting actually is more of a rectangle now. The district starts at 9th and 9th and goes all the way down to 7500 West, so it includes parts of 9th and 9th, a big chunk of Central City, a majority of Glendale, parts of Poplar Grove, and then parts of West Valley. So it's a very large district with a variety of concerns. So right now what I'm doing is I'm meeting with community leaders, community organizations, different people that I know in the community to try to identify what their concerns and needs are. When I first started my campaign, I went to all the people I work with and I know in the community, I asked them what their concerns were. And education was the number one issue that I heard from everyone. Everyone's concerned with the achievement gap, seeing a higher high school graduation rates from particular groups within our community.
And let's talk more specifically about some of those unique concerns to this district. Specifically, you mentioned education and the achievement gap. What's the big concern there?
The big concern is to make sure that all students are prepared and are able to achieve and graduate from high school and go on to college or a different trade. Right now, we have a lot of students that are not even graduating from high school. So the big concern from the community is looking at pre-K education, supporting our teachers, and working more as a community to make sure that our kids graduate. And in particular, Glendale Intermediate is in the heart of our district, and the teachers and the administration there work really hard. And so and the community supports them, but we have to identify, I think, even earlier what's happening to our young people to make sure that they can achieve.
How do you think perhaps the legislature could be involved in that? There's always an argument, typically from the Republican side, that education is a local control issue, and this is perhaps only a local matter to be dealt with on the Salt Lake City level, the Salt Lake City School Board. Where do you think the legislature's involvement begins there?
What I'm doing right now is I'm just listening to everyone and identifying what their concerns are, and then a lot of how the legislature plays a role is in funding. And so what I'm looking at now is just kind of getting a grasp of what the role is of the legislature and how we can work with the local community. So I'm still in the beginning stages of investigating what is the best method and how would the state legislature play a role in this.
Do you think largely, though, that it simply comes down to lack of funding?
Funding is an issue, definitely. Funding's an issue for a lot of other areas in which people are concerned about in the community. So as I said, right now I'm just looking into things, identifying ways, meeting with community leaders to find the best way to solve the issues and the concerns they have regarding education and how does funding play a role. But there might be other factors there as well.
So, Angela, I mentioned that you won the nomination for the seat at the Salt Lake County Democratic Party convention by defeating an incumbent Democrat, Brian Doty, who himself had only been a lawmaker for a couple of months. Usually that's not an easy task. How did you go about campaigning for the seat?
I think the uniqueness about the seat is majority of the seat is still part of Legislative 26. Uh-huh. Representative Doty, who has been a great representative, represented Ledge District 30. Mm. And so only two precincts came from District 30 to District 26. And that happened to be Representative Doty's precinct as well. The reason why I was able to win the election is because I've been the legislative chair of Leg 26 for many, many years. Mm-hmm. I've been the secretary of the Democratic Party. But outside of my party politics, I volunteer at St. Patrick's. I teach 5th and 6th grade religious education. I work in a community center in the community. So I had the background and the relationships. I had the background and relationships already developed with the community. I would talk to the women I work out with at the gym in the community center, and I asked them, what are your concerns? Get involved. And so that's why I was so successful, is because of the different groups that within the district that I work with on a daily basis.
We're talking with Angela Romero, candidate for Utah House District 26. Angela, you mentioned social justice and human rights issues on your campaign Facebook page. Now, it's early in the campaign right now, but are there specific issues that you would like to see the legislature get involved in when it comes to these topics?
I'm really looking at just advocating for the rights of working people. If you look at our district, a lot of our families are working people. Another area of concern for me is anti-discrimination. I want to carry on what Representative Doty and Representative Levesque were working towards. As an intern for Pete Suazo and as a person who has served on many committees, such as the Utah Coalition of La Raza, I was also the vice chair of the Martin Luther King Human Rights Commission. One of the things I worked on for many, many years with Representative and then Senator Pete Suazo and Representative Levesque was hate crimes legislation. So those issues are near and dear to me, being a person of color and someone that advocates for social justice. And I think majority of the people, it impacts a lot of the people within my district. My district is very diverse, and it's even more diverse now with redistricting. So I want to make sure that I represent all the voices in the district.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. We're going to take a short break here and be right back here on Politics Up Close. You're listening to Politics Up Close here on 88.3 and 105.3 FM, NPR Utah, KCPW. We're speaking this hour with Democratic candidate for the Utah House of Representatives, Angela Romero, running in House District 26. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. You can send your questions and comments to us on Twitter as well, at KCPW. So, Angela, you mentioned that, kind of right now you're in the listening stage of the campaign, trying to understand exactly what it is people are most concerned about and what they want to see done. How do you go about doing that exactly, especially in a district that's as wide as this one?
Well, what I've been doing is I've been fortunate enough to have some volunteers that are assisting me. So what we've been doing right now is we've been contacting people that have been attended mass meetings and asking them what their concerns are. I've also been meeting with just local community leaders in the area and in the neighborhoods and just identifying some of their concerns, as well as just talking to my neighbors and asking them what are the issues that are most important to you. And the benefit that I have is I work in a community center, and so part of my job is outreaching to the community. So I work with a lot of local nonprofits, and I ask them, what are the biggest concerns for the people that you serve? And as I mentioned before, the number one issue is education, and so that's something I'm really, diving into. But another issue is of concern to people is making sure that they have a voice at the state legislature. And so one of the biggest concerns for people in the area is to make sure they have a voice that represents all people in the district. And so that's a common theme I keep on hearing as I knock on doors and I meet with different constituent groups.
So, Angela, Democrats currently only hold a quarter of the seats or even less in the Utah House and Senate. I'm sure, having worked with Ross Romero and Pete Suazo, that you've heard the frustration of, this situation for them. If elected, how do you think you might go about actually getting things done? Is there anything in your past history that shows that you're good at, working across party lines and actually getting things done in a situation where it might be difficult?
As I mentioned, I've worked for Salt Lake City since 2001, and my job in the mayor's office as the youth city government coordinator was to introduce young people to the political process. So one of my main roles was working with the city council and the mayor's office to make sure that young people had a voice. And one of the council members I worked closely with, I've worked with both, you know, Carlton Christensen and Eric Jurgensen, who was a council member, because they were really interested in youth policy. But also as a member of the Martin Luther King Human Rights Commission, we've done a lot of work that is to advocate for social justice. So we work with a lot of different groups. Another organization that I worked with was the Hispanic Legislative Task Force, which was a bipartisan organization of Democrats and Republicans. And our goal was to make sure that we address the issues of the Hispanic community. So part of my job at the Unity Center is working with a variety of organizations and community groups. So I've learned how to collaborate and work with people. I think the most important issue when you're running for office is to listen to people. And that's what I've learned throughout my experience working for city government, is a lot of times people just want to be heard. They want to know that you're taking the time to listen to them. And even if you don't make the decision that they hope for, they still respect you because you've taken the time to listen to them and understand what their concerns are and how they feel about public policy. So that's my goal right now, is I'm just meeting with constituents, meeting with different community leaders, Republican, unaffiliated, Democrat, and asking them, what are your concerns for your community? What would you like to see me represent?
And Angela, as I'm sure you've observed in the legislature in recent years, there's always legislation that seems to be aimed specifically at Salt Lake City in some way, whether it's our anti-idling ordinance or electronic billboards or school district equalization, that sort of thing. Do you get the sense that lawmakers from Salt Lake City have it especially tough?
You know, I haven't been up there, so once I get up there, I'll deal with it then. But just as you see this conflict even with state government and federal government.
Yeah.
And so you'll see that along with state and local government. And so we'll see what happens when I get up there.
Are there any specific issues when it comes to the environment that you would like to be involved in at the legislative level?
One of the things that keeps coming up when I'm meeting with different individuals in the community is clean air. And it's more about awareness and education, alternative transportation, educating our community how to recycle. So those are the issues that have come up to me. So as I said, I'm still listening right now. I'm still formulating what I'm going to do, and I'm learning. So I'm open to anyone's opinion on how they'd like to see me take on those issues.
And finally, Angela, talking specifically about, the campaign, this is a district including Salt Lake and West Valley City, probably heavily Democratic. Are you going to be actively campaigning for this seat, or is it kind of a situation where, you are a shoo-in here?
You never take anything for granted. And the one thing that I've learned from working with the late Senator Pete Suazo and my mentor, Archie Archuleta, is that you have to work for what you feel like you should earn. And so my whole goal is to get to know everyone in this large district and to learn what their concerns are. I plan on knocking on as many doors as I can, and I plan on holding a variety of functions so people can get to know me so they can voice their concern. I do have a Facebook page. My website's going up in a couple of weeks, and my phone number is listed on all of those. So I'm hoping that people will feel comfortable calling me and addressing what their concerns are for the district, as well as me going out to them and learning what their concerns are.
And Angela, we actually just got a caller. Mike is on the line. 801-355-8255 is the number to call. Mike, what's your question or comment for Angela Romero?
I appreciate taking the call. I was just driving, but I pulled over here. And I appreciate that she's sincere, but I talked to all the candidates about this, and this has been a long-term problem. As she was talking about her qualifications and background, which are impressive, she just blithely passed over the fact that one of her responsibilities was to educate the community on the free services. And what I want to underscore for every representative is they're not free. They're paid for by someone else to get a service. And what I don't see our community leaders and I don't see our advocates doing is actively reminding everyone who receives one of these quote-unquote free services, as they give it to them, that they should be appreciative of the fact that someone else has paid for this and that they have a moral and ethical obligation to be of value and to use that service to improve the community. And I don't see the people who take and take and take feeling that they have anything other than an entitlement. And that is a serious problem. And if Angela is elected and goes to the legislature, she will carry with her the fact that these services that she takes out as free are not.
Very interesting comment, Mike. We appreciate your call very much. 801-355-TALK is the number. And Angela, I'm sure you'd like the opportunity to respond. Mike's saying no such thing as a free lunch. So are you, you know, conscious of what you're doing here in Salt Lake City, and would you be in the legislature of the fact that every service that's provided is paid for by somebody else?
Yeah, I think it's important. We all pay into our state. We all definitely need to know that everything that we do is because of the working families that we have in our community. So I don't see any service that we provide for the community as free. And I think everybody knows that they work hard and are, yeah.
So, Angela, just in closing then, what would you say to voters who are undecided at this point makes you the candidate for this job? Give your, you know, one-minute pitch here.
I know the Ledge District 26 very well. I've worked in it for over 12 years. I volunteer. I live in the neighborhood. And I feel like I can represent the voice best based off of my experience. I really want to advocate for education, health care, look at the environment, and really address social justice issues to make sure that everyone feels like they're represented.
We've been speaking with Angela Romero. She's a candidate for Utah House District 26, a Democratic candidate. And Angela, thank you very much for your time. We appreciate you joining us in Politics Up Close.
Thank you.
I'm Jeff Robinson. We will be right back. You are listening to Politics Up Close. I'm Jeff Robinson. For Utah congressional candidate Charles Kimball, just getting his name on the ballot was a tough feat. That's because the District 2 hopeful is running as an independent and had to go door-to-door collecting signatures in order to run. Now he has a large district to travel in order to get his name out there, talking about issues like the influence of money in politics, creating a 21st-century education, and public lands. Kimball joins me now in the studio to discuss what he has to offer voters this fall. And, Charles, it's great to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Listeners, join us on the air with your questions and comments for independent congressional candidate Charles Kimball. We're at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. Charles, what motivated you to take on the very tough task of running as an independent for Congress?
Well, I think the short answer, Jeff, is participation. You know, I believe that for democracy to work, every citizen must lay a claim to it and have a stake in it. Mm-hmm. Thomas Jefferson wrote that that government is the strongest when every man feels himself a part of it. So I run as an independent because I feel that the middle class has lost its voice in Congress.
And what's the process of getting on the ballot in Utah, Charles, as an independent candidate?
Well, it's 300 registered voters in the district, and the number doesn't seem that big, but boy, you knock on a lot of doors. We collected about 658 signatures in total, half of which were not valid, and so it's really a lot of legwork, a lot of listening to people's concerns, a lot of talking to them, a lot of times convincing them that you're running as an independent isn't going to hurt other candidates, that you're really trying to expand the dialogue and have a conversation with people about important issues.
And so there was an interesting article, Charles, in the Salt Lake Tribune about how you qualified to get on the ballot by the skin of your teeth on the last day to file, you know, right at the deadline. Tell me about that experience.
Well, we had initially collected 435 signatures. Took them down to the county, and the county, through a process of verifying the signatures in the district, rejected almost half of them. So we had to go back out again. And it's not as simple as just knocking on a door and getting a signature. It's 5 or 10 minutes of conversation. It's maybe 15 minutes of conversation. It's doors getting closed. It's people not being home. Mm-hmm. So knocking on 600 doors is more like 3,000 to 4,000 doors. And so we took down a second set of signatures, of which some were invalidated, and I think there were 45 minutes prior to having to file.
Do you have to go to every single county in the whole district?
No. You collect 300 signatures within a district, and so for me, in order to collect those 300, you have to file the signatures in the county in which you're collecting the signatures, so it would have been virtually impossible for me to travel every county that is in part of Congressional District 2 to collect signatures and then drop them off at their their county clerk's office.
Now, this is obviously a very different process than for Republicans or Democrats to get on the ballot. Do you think the state of Utah maybe makes it too difficult, or did you find it to be manageable once you got the hang of it?
I don't know that it's difficult. I think it is time-consuming. Mm-hmm. It's certainly a lot easier. It's a lot easier to get on the ballot as a member of the prominent two political party system in this country, as a Republican or as a Democrat. I mean, all you end up having to do there is you make calls to the delegates.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found the process of going door to door, talking to people, to be far more rewarding. To listening to people's concerns about what's going on in the district, to listen to what their hopes are and what their aspirations are for a congressional candidate.
We're speaking with Charles Kimball. He is an independent congressional candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District, which stretches from here in Salt Lake City down to southern Utah. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK. That's 801-355-8255. You can also send your questions to us on Twitter at KCPW. Well, Charles, tell us a little bit about your background. What's your history here in Utah, and what kinds of things do you do for a living?
I came to Utah 18 years ago now, to mm-hmm. attend the University of Utah as part of an exchange scholarship program from Maine. I got my undergraduate degree in political science. I am by trade a chef. I have spent the past 25 years in management, mm-hmm. in budget management, personnel management, restaurant management. So I find my relationships with my employees to be a good measure of how I conduct myself as a candidate. We operate as a member of a team. There's not one above the other or anything else. So if you look at if you take the kitchen setting, which I'm very comfortable in, mm-hmm. and apply it to the world at large, the smallest job is usually the most important job. So I tell the staff that where I work, my team, that the most important position we have in the kitchen is the dish room. I work for a management company out of Idaho. We run the food and nutrition services for a number of hospitals in the Mountain West.
Mm-hmm.
I am currently working at Ogden Regional Medical, where we have a staff of about 32 people that work with me. We feed anywhere from 200 to 300 patient meals a day. We feed about 500 people in the cafe. So it's a big operation. And the idea of behind that is that everybody has to work together. There can be, while we have ideological conflicts or we have personality conflicts, when it comes right down to it, we have to, in order for the department to succeed, we have to work together.
So, Charles, why run for the for Congress? Why not run for, say, the legislature or local office? What is it about this race that you want to be in Congress for?
I think the number one reason I'm running for Congress is the fact that we have one independent in Congress right now. Now that Senator Lieberman is retiring, so we have Senator Sanders from Vermont.
Right,
a lone voice for removing some of the obstacles to creating good government, money, the peddling of influence, the growing distrust amongst the citizenry in this country towards our politicians. We know that Congress is at an all-time low as far as how the view of the public on them. And I'd like to try to change that. I believe that the role of the representative on the national level is to be a facilitator between the ideas of the people and the resources that are available to them to succeed. So I run because I want people to recognize that middle-class Americans have something to contribute. I was told early on that to run a successful congressional race in the state of Utah is $1 million. $1 million. And it really, it took me back. Like, $1 million. And so you end up spending most of your time fundraising and not enough time talking to people about what their real concerns are, what their real issues are. So I'm hoping to change that.
So, Charles, you told me about how you used to be involved in the Democratic Party, I believe, but
yes.
Now you're an independent. Was it the influence of money that drove you out?
No.
What was it then?
It was the freedom that comes from being an independent. Hmm. I don't believe that the political parties have cornered the market on ideas. I think there are ideological litmus tests. I think there are political structures in place that keep the party surviving, but does little to foster dialogue. And so we end up having conversations about how do we elect a Democrat, not how do we elect the best person for the job. And I believe I've evolved. We'll use the modern, the new language of the president. I've evolved, and I think that I have decided that the freedom that comes from being an independent allows me the capacity to listen to the best perspectives coming from wherever, and to bring those perspectives together without having to have, if there's an R in front of a name or if there's a D in front of a name, those things actually become obstacles to conversation. And I want to remove as much of the obstacle as I can.
801-355-TALK is our phone number, 801-355-8255, to ask questions of Charles Kimball, independent candidate for Congress in Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Well, Charles, this 2nd District, after the redistricting process, spans from here in Salt Lake City all the way down to the end of southern Utah. Have you gotten the chance to actually travel around a bit and listen to what people have to say?
I have. I've made a number of trips down south. One of the things that I've found traveling to the southern part of the state is that the citizens who live in rural Utah feel completely underrepresented. They believe that the politics of the state and nationally see the Wasatch Front as the beginning and the end of what goes on in the state, and it's just not the truth. So when we talk about public lands, down south, I recently was in Torrey, Bicknell, Gunnison, talking about public lands. And, you know, it's a boondoggle. People, to give the land back to the state, the people down there aren't that comfortable with that process.
You're talking about the legislature's intent to retake control of public lands from the federal government.
Yes. The people down there are not that comfortable with it. What they tell me is that, you know, we live in this area for a particular reason. So if you're in Torrey, you look out over the promontories and you see wonderful vistas. There is a concern on some folks that I spoke to that opening the lands up will open them up to development and remove the very reason that people come to that area. Mm-hmm. And they don't want that. They say that, you know, the government has to be LM land, but the devil we know is sometimes better than the devil we don't.
Charles, you have an interesting idea for tax reform that you talk about on your website that starts by exempting the first $40,000 of everybody's income from taxation. Obviously, taxation is an issue that comes up every year in Congress. Tell me a little bit more about your plan. I thought it was interesting.
When I first began this process, I started having a number of conversations with some economists.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we need to recognize is that there is a very vital relationship between healthy businesses and healthy consumers and healthy citizens. It's the money flow. People make money. They invest in their community. They buy goods and services. Business can prosper. The money comes back to the consumers. Well, healthy businesses and healthy consumers require a healthy middle class. As we've seen, when one part of the relationship suffers, the other part of the relationship suffers. So, the average income, if you measure out in this country, is around varies a little bit, around $40,000 a year. What I'm trying to do is put everything out on the table to get people to understand that we as citizens need to look at every option on how we go about reinvesting in our communities to give put more money back in the hands of middle-class Americans to spur our economy. Because I firmly believe that our economies are local economies, and that the only way you build strong economies is to give money to the citizenry to invest in their community.
This is Politics Up Close on KCBW. We're speaking with Charles Kimball, an independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Join us on the air at 801-355-TALK, 801-355-8255. Charles, going back to the influence of money in politics, is that the number one reason that you're running? And what ideas would you bring to Congress that would actually go about getting this done, considering how entrenched it is right now?
It's a big problem. In 2010 alone, $3.6 billion went through the House of the House and Senate of the United States in the form of donations.
Only $3.6 billion?
Only $3.6 billion. That amount of money silences a large majority of the population in this country from having any sort of conversation with their representatives. How do you go about with Citizens United being in place? I believe that one of the things that we have to do is we have to make sure that donations to the political process come from citizens only. I personally have capped my donations at $200. Mm-hmm. I take no PAC money. I take no union money. I believe that there's an influence that comes with that, and I don't want to have that influence. I want to be beholding and a representative of the people, for the people, and by the people. I think that if we could elect more independent candidates who follow that same rubric, that say that they will not take any money from PACs or unions and they will cap their donations, that we can begin to start to change the process in this country. I don't want to become part of a Democratic caucus or a Republican caucus. I want to listen to the best ideas. And I'm hopeful that my voice becomes another voice and becomes another voice. So I run to inspire others who feel the same way I do to take an account and lay a claim and take a stake in their democracy, because it is their country as well.
So would you say then as far as banning anything but individual contributions would be the ultimate goal then? No PACs, no corporate contributions at all?
Ultimately, yes.
You have an interesting idea on your website I'd like to get to. That is, you want to see a high-speed rail line built from Logan to St. George. Why do you think Utah needs this?
Because I think Utah is the gateway to the West. I think that we have the entrepreneurial spirit. I think we have the willingness. I think we have the capacity to lead the Mountain West and build this hub. One of the ideas we've talked about is to get all the universities in the state involved in designing the particular train depots along the way. And as a friendly competition, keeping the work in state, building using the most modern technologies that we can find to build the hub, so that its carbon footprint is minimized, to bring jobs, sustainable jobs, sustainable transportation systems to the state. We know that our transportation structure in this country is past its prime. We know that fossil fuels are past their prime. We need to begin to embrace new technologies and look at ways that we can continue to keep goods, services, and people moving throughout the Mountain West and beyond. And I firmly believe that creating what we've called New Promontory is one of those ways.
So how do you think transportation stacks up when it comes to budget priorities when you have a country that's so many trillions of dollars in debt? Why is it a top priority?
Because we need to have this infrastructure in order to keep our economy moving. Mm-hmm. And if we don't, then we end up hitting the abyss where our road system breaks down, maybe our dams, which are past their prime, begin to break down, and we begin to have more problems than we know what to do with. The budget is a big concern. Yes, we're trillions of dollars in debt. the question for that is, how do we go about building a smart enough government that is willing to address those issues? And I'm not certain that the current crop of elected officials have any intent on addressing those issues. They're great political footballs. So we take a budget and we the Republicans come out against entitlements on one side. The Democrats want to come out and protect entitlements on the other side. And no one really wants to do anything about it, because if they do, then they have to work together. And bipartisanship, by large, is a ruse.
We're speaking with Charles Kimball, independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Just a few minutes left here on Politics Up Close. What are your thoughts on defense spending, Charles? This is an issue that in some ways goes back to the influence of money in politics, defense contractors and that sort of thing, donating to members of Congress. What are your thoughts on defense spending and the idea of cutting it?
I think that if we're going to look at cutting programs, defense should actually be part of that process. And I recognize that it's probably one of the third rails of politics that we don't ever touch and look at defense. But how do we define defense? We're constantly looking at education and cutting education, but I firmly believe that education is part of a country's national defense. A well-educated electorate is essential to move forward a democracy. And do we need bases all over the world? I don't have that answer right now. I don't know. But can we get rid of the $17,000 oil pan that happened in Virginia from the senator through pork barrel politics? Yes, on a helicopter. Yes. So I think there are cuts to be made. There are efficiencies that we can look at. But we have to have that willingness to do so. And we have to be able to have a hard conversation with the citizens and be honest with them. And I think that's where it begins. And
Charles, we just have 30 seconds left here, but you were talking about how someone concerned about, as an independent, and you drawing votes away from another candidate in the race, perhaps the Democratic candidate in particular. What would you say to those who might see you as a token candidate, one of those independents you see popping up from time to time who's running but has no actual chance of winning the race?
The spoiler.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one of the craziest things that we talk about, because votes haven't been cast. Hmm. And we don't vote for a party. We should be voting for the candidate. We should be voting for the ideas. And that's part of the problem that we face in this country, that we rubber stamp Republicans or Democrats, and they all come with these ideological constructs. And so I say, look at candidates. Look at what they're proposing.
This is Politics Up Close, a production of KCBW News. We've been speaking with Charles Kimball, an independent candidate for Utah's 2nd Congressional District. Charles, thank you very much for your time.
I thank you.
Listen to Politics Up Close every Friday morning at 9 and Sunday morning at 6 on KCBW, and download podcasts of our interviews online at kcbw.org. I'm Jeff Robinson. Thanks for joining us.